I got the idea for this message in line at Sonic drive-thru yesterday. And I was sitting there waiting for my cheeseburger and my tater tots, because I like tater tots, huh? Do you really? Waiting for people to hurry up and get their food? He works in fast food and I eat it. That's what makes us kind of like each other. But anyway, before we get into the message, I saw this here a while back and it just really blessed my heart. There is a fellow that worked for the Smithsonian Institute. He was a naturalist and he was a photographer. And he caught a glimpse of something on a butterfly wing. And it looked like a letter to him. And he took a picture of it and he showed everybody. And this has been years gone by. And he went looking. He said, well, I wondered what's on other. And he went looking. And he'd been, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 different places around the world. And he spent his life taking pictures of butterfly wings. And he has found the entire English alphabet on the backs of butterfly wings, including the numbers 1 through 9 and 0. On the back of butterfly wings, the English alphabet, A, B, C, D, you know the rest of them. Amen, you know the rest of them. And first time I saw that, you know me, I'm always looking in the Bible for stuff. And I number one, letters don't write themselves. Let me get an amen out of God's people. Because, you know, talking about mamas, it's mamas that take little boys and girls, even before they go to kindergarten, they sit them down with a crayon or a big pencil, and they try to teach little children how to write letters. That has to be taught to children. Mamas usually start out doing that, but we see here the handiwork of God. And God, and there's actually scripture that goes with this. The handiwork of God in that He put the letters of our alphabet on the backs of these butterfly wings. Now, I like to count things, and so we're going to count. How many letters is there in the English alphabet? Does anybody know? 26. So turn to the 26th book of the Bible. I'll just tell you what that is. It's Ezekiel. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. Boy, I like this. And I want you to think about things with wings. Okay? Think about things with wings. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says in verse 3, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Shebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, there a whirlwind came out of the north, and a great cloud and fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. And also out of the midst thereof came the likeness. I want you to look at this now. 4 living creatures. The number 4 always pertains to the spiritual realm. Things that live in the spiritual world. You have 4 living creatures here. And I want you to notice their description. Their appearance. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And everyone had 4 faces. Notice there's that number 4 again. And everyone had 4 wings. And I want you to notice that. Does anybody know how many wings butterflies have? How many, Caleb? And I thought, who said 2? I thought that yesterday sitting in line at Sonic waiting for my tater tots. And I got to looking at butterfly wings and I noticed that even the butterflies that look like there's a solid wing there, that's just the pattern connects from one wing to the next, but there's actually 4 wings there. Okay? Now, I'm going to say this again. This is an unusual message for me, like on a Sunday morning. Sunday morning, I don't know, it seems different. But this is what the Lord gave me. And I sat between ordering my food and getting the food yesterday, just sitting in the car bawling like a little baby. And I had to put my sunglasses on to cover my eyes when I got up to give the guy my money. so he wouldn't see me. What's wrong with you? God told me something. You know, it's, I mean, I could have done it, I guess, but it would have taken too long to explain. But anyway, they had four faces and everyone had four wings, and their, verse 7, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings and on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. He keeps talking about their wings, their wings, their wings. I want you to think about that. And their, verse 9, their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went, and every one went straight forward. And as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, and the face of a lion. And on the right side, they four had the face of an ox. And on the left side, they four had also the face of an eagle. And there were, and thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of everyone were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went everyone straight forward, whither the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. Again, we're talking, it keeps pointing to their wings. And then the Spirit leading them, and wherever the Spirit wanted them to go, that's the direction they went. Now I want you to just kind of think about this as we see this. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. And it went up, down, and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. The living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now I beheld, as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And when they went upon their four sides, and they returned not when they went. And they turned not when they went. And as for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, and wheels were lifted up, whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, those went. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Everyone had two which covered on this side, and everyone had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, listen to this now, listen to this. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of who? The Almighty. The voice of what? Speech. Speech is built upon words, which is built upon letters. Look back up here at this graphic. God designed those wings with those letters on it to be an earthly model of what Ezekiel got to see this, John got to see it, he talks about it in Revelation chapter 4. The earthly model of what these two men saw in heaven. That when the wings of these angels, they were angels, of the wings of these angels, when they moved, they made a sound. And it was the sound of like rushing water, the sound of speech, and it was the voice of Almighty God. And these four wings, he keeps talking about how the Spirit, when the Spirit would move, these wings would move. When the Spirit wanted this, wanted them to go this way, that's what the direction they went. When the Spirit wanted them to go this way, that's what direction they went. And so, and I hadn't thought about this when I was putting this together, but here's this family here, and their oldest daughter, Abigail, said, Daddy, maybe you ought to take some different kind of tracks in different languages. That was the Spirit moving. That was the Spirit saying, you're going to go here, and now you're going to go here, and the cops are over here, they'll arrest you. Now you're going to go over here, then you're going to go to this place over here, there's somebody over here. By the way, they had a conversation with a young man who's training to be a Roman Catholic priest. David actually got to sit down and talk to the man. giving the gospel because these guys don't know what the gospel is. They don't know the truth. And you know what that was? That was the Spirit of God. By the way, the Spirit of God has wings. Because when Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit of God landed upon him as in the form of a dove. That's why when God said in Psalm 91 that He'll shelter them under His wings, that's not just some metaphorical spiritual language that doesn't mean anything. It means exactly what it says. Somebody say amen. And the Bible, when it talks, it says exactly what it means. It's not giving you some out-of-mind experience, or it's not giving you some big high thing, well, this is that, but it doesn't really mean that. If God said that these angels, when their wings moved, that it sounded like the voice of Almighty God when He was speaking, then that's exactly what they sound like and what they look like. And we have an earthly representation here on this earth of these butterfly wings with the letters all over them. 26 letters, and this happens to be the 26th book of the Bible, and I don't think it's an accident. I think God does everything on purpose. Don't you believe that? Somebody say amen. And there's that verse there, when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. Now that was just free of charge this morning. That's just something I wanted to throw in there at the beginning of the message. Now, if you would, if you take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 9. I've got it there on the screen. You can look at it if you want to, or you can look. I'll be using the Authorized Bible today, just like I used last week and the week before last and 10 years ago and 5 years from now. I'll still be using the same Bible. Amen? Mark chapter 9, verse 43. And I want you to listen to what Jesus said. By the way, if Jesus said it, He meant it. Okay, He meant it. And I had some people question me on this. Do you know what they were trying to do? They were trying to use this passage and try to tell me that the Bible says it, but it doesn't really mean what it says. And I'm going to show you it does. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. Are you there? Say amen. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Oh, pastor, you don't really believe the Bible means that, do you? Hang on. It's in there. Who said that? Amen, Jimmy Carmichael. Smartest thing you said all day. Amen. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. By the way, if you say that he doesn't mean what he means here by cutting your hand off, then maybe hell, he doesn't really mean hell either. Who in here believes in hell? Raise your hand. You should. Some of you were going there. Some of you might still be. Anyway, then having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Now I want you to look at verse 44. The Bible says, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. What is a worm? I want you to think about that. I want you to ask that question. What does it mean, their worm? What does that mean? Well, let's keep reading. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter into halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Where their worm dieth not. Here he is saying again, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And then verse 47, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So I just believe the Bible means what it says. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I've been asking God for, ever since You gave me this yesterday, I've been asking You, Lord, for to help me with this message. And Lord, I want to start crying all over again, God, because Lord, I'm nothing. And Lord, for you to deliver this to me the way You did and at the time You did, God, You just blessed my heart. And Lord, I don't know if I can really convey this in the way, the Lord, that it just really got a hold of me. Maybe it's just not just for anybody but me, but Father, Lord, I ask You, Lord, if I should preach this, and this is what You gave me. And so, Lord, I'm asking You, God, to bless Your Word and help people to understand, number one, that the Bible is real and it means what it says in every place. Lord, help us to realize who we are, who we really are, not who we like for people to see, but who we really are. And Lord, just let this message be a blessing to people. Let it be encouragement. Let it give them hope, Father. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to ask you a question. If you went to the doctor and that you've been having problems out of your hand, and if you went to the doctor and they did a bunch of tests, and they MRIs and X-rays and everything else, and they came back to you and they said, you've got severe case of cancer in your bones and your hand. And if we don't take care of this thing, and really that we can't remove the cancer without damaging the tissue, the only thing for us to do is to take this hand and cut it off. Because if we don't, then it's going to infect your whole body and it's going to kill you eventually. What is your answer to that? Cut it off. Dad used to get diabetic ulcers all the time in his feet, and he had like three toes removed at different times. They said, Don, if you don't have this thing cut off, we're going to end up taking your whole foot, and then it'll be your leg, and then it'll just keep going from there. So it was a no-brainer. Now, he walked different from that because of that, but they eventually had cut toes off. You see, this is not anything hard for us to fathom. If you've got some sort of offense in your hand or anything like that, it's best to have that cut off and to go through life maimed than it is for you to enter into hellfire having both of your hands. It's better for you to have your hand cut off than it is for you to die. Can I hear you say amen? See, this Bible's right. It is right on what it says, and it means exactly what it says. If you had something in your eye, if you had cancer in your eye, and they said the only way we can do this is to take that eye out, then you take the eye out so the rest of you can live. Does that make sense to everybody? Somebody say amen. See how simple this Bible really is. We try to make it hard and then try to make it sound like it doesn't mean what it says. But it means exactly what it says. So if Jesus knew what he was talking about and it means this, then number one, hell, it means that, number one. Number two, hell is on fire and it's forever. Hell, let me say that again. Hell is on fire and it's forever. He meant what he said on that one there too. And then, number three, I want you to look at this verse again, verse 48, the bottom one down here, but he repeated it like three times in this. Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. What is their worm? What does that mean? And to be honest with you, I've been studying worms in the Bible. When I got home, that's what I did. I started studying worms. But I went on the internet and I studied worms too, because God has given us the illustration here. What is a worm? What does that mean? It means exactly what you think. The word worm comes to us. It's one of them old words. It's one of those old words that if you look down, we was out plowing up a little bit of ground yesterday, and I said, hey, Caleb, come over here. And he'd come running. Man, there was a worm down in there about that thick, Sterling. I mean, he was that thick and he was that long, and Caleb was just going, bet you could have used that one yesterday. They went fishing yesterday. Amen. Them earthworms. And he said, why are they there? I said, that means the ground's good. Amen. You get earthworms in your garden. That's good. Amen. That's good. But anyway, it means kind of what it says, a worm, or what we say, a caterpillar, or even the word, when you go back in time, the meaning of the word even implied like snakes and dragons. And we know from the Bible that dragons are real. We know the snakes are real. We know what they are. It's any of these long, long creatures that kind of do this and this and that and the other. Well, the Bible tells us, now don't you listen to this and believe the Bible. The Bible tells us that we are worms down on this earth. You and I are worms. We're like worms, or not just like worms, but we are worms. I didn't put this up there, but if you've seen a picture of DNA, have you not? It looks like it's a worm. It's what it is. It looks like this little slithery long deal, and it looks exactly like a worm. So if the Bible said, now listen to this, now if the Bible said that you are a worm, it means exactly what it says. And I want you to, instead of trying to change the Bible in your mind, I want you to understand what the Bible's saying to you. In Job chapter 25, here's what the Bible says. How then can man be justified with God? That's a big question for everybody to ask. How can I be justified with God? If I have broke God's commandments, if I've lusted, or if I've done this, or I've stolen something, or I lied, or I didn't honor God, and this and that and the other, if I've said His name in vain, or if I didn't honor my father or my mother, one of the Ten Commandments, how then can I be justified with God? mankind's biggest quest. It's not that he can have more money. It's not that he can have health. It's not that there can be world peace. Mankind's biggest quest is to be justified with a holy, a thrice holy God. That's your biggest quest today. So he says, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? And I don't want to be gross this morning, but birthings are not clean things. Amen, ladies. They're filthy. They're nasty. And that's the language that you see in the Bible. By the way, what do we associate worms with? Show me, ladies, raise your hand if you like to bend down and pick up worms. Two. Okay? I bet she's a feisty one, isn't she? A little bit, yeah? She'll pick worms up. Ladies, raise your hand if you ain't. If your kid comes up, Mom, I got a worm. What does Lisa do, Caleb?
Get that out of the house!
Get that out of the house! Verse 5, behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. Verse 6, how much less man that is a worm? He didn't say he was like a worm. He didn't say, I want you to imagine he's like a worm. He said, man is a worm. Which in the sense that you and I would have, we don't go around picking up snakes. We don't go around picking up grimy, nasty worms. We don't go around picking up caterpillars or anything like that. They're disgusting to us. They're grotesque and everything like that. Lisa always promised she'd go fishing with me as long as I'd bait the hook. She ain't touching it. That's the concept that we have. He didn't say man was like a worm. He said man is a worm. How can a worm, how can something that seemingly is nothing and of no consequence on this earth and disgusting and ugly, how can that be justified with God? God's got an answer for that. And the son of man, which is a worm. So not only just us, but our offspring. Worms, listen to me now, breed worms. Those children we had, sweetie pie, we see it every day in our children. They're turning out more like us as the day goes by. And mom and dad here, we just laugh at our children because children get to an age where they hate mom and dad and they don't want anything to do with them, don't want to be like them. And we just, they're so much like us. It's funny. It's funny. I've been living with Lisa 26 years almost this year, and I know Sterling and Gloria pretty well. She is her mother's daughter. But she is her father's daughter too. Oh my goodness. Some ways that's good, some ways, whatever, okay? Worms breed worms. That's all your children are. They're not, and if you stop and think about that. If you were to put a nice dress and a little bonnet on a worm. What do you have, Sister Anna? A worm. It's not much. That's what the Bible's trying to tell you if you'll listen. If you think highly of yourself now, think of yourself the way God thinks of you. You're a worm. And that's all you are. That's worms. Who wants to stick their hand in a big pile of maggots? Ugh. That even got you, didn't it? No? Go join the Marines. That's all I can tell you. We look upon those things. If we see them in our house, we step on them. Or we get a paper towel. Or they get husband to get a paper towel, Brady. Get that worm out of our house. Amen? You had to do that before going on bug patrol? Okay. Huh? Already, yeah. It don't take long. When you look up here on the screen, I'm telling you this, that's you. That's you. And if you were to just stop and think about these, we're talking about earthworms in our garden. As long as it's earthworms in a garden, that's fine. But when you plant a garden, other worms show up. Don't they? Don't they, Roy? What do they do to a garden? They make tunnels. They'll destroy the. They'll eat the leaves, the cutworms, and everything like that. They'll get out there and they'll destroy your garden. And I want you to think about that. All we do is consume and make more worms, make more things just like us. And that's really what the Bible's trying to teach us. If you look in the book of Joel, chapter 1, you'll see that caterpillars and worms and things like that, they feature into God's judgment of Israel and the land of Israel. Because what the locust didn't eat, the caterpillars ate. And it has a sense of corruption and destruction. The reason why I thought of Dad had a lot of diabetic ulcers on his feet, and they're now treating those with maggots. Believe it or not, they'll treat those, they'll take maggots and put them in those diabetic ulcers, and what they'll do is they'll eat the corruption out of there. Listen, that's us. We feed on corruption. And if you don't believe that, we watch shows on television that are nothing but corruption. We listen to stuff on it. We eat stuff, drink stuff, watch stuff, listen to stuff that's nothing but corruption. And we like it. This is who we are. We are worms. As far as what the Bible is, this Bible is right. Now I want you to think of what started this conversation when Jesus was talking about the worms. Okay? Now, Psalm chapter 22, verse 1, the Bible says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who said that? That was the words of Jesus on the cross, wasn't it? When he was dying on the cross. Did you know that he was a worm? He had left the glories of heaven and he came down to be like us. And so it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, and they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. That word worm, back then, it meant the same thing as it does now. It is something that is despised or something that is abhorred. And the truth, and here's what we're really getting at here. Here's God. This is God. Now here's what people will do. They'll bring God down here to make themselves feel better. But the truth of it is, God is up here. And you and I are down here. Where worms live. They live down here. That's us right here. And Christ came to be one of us. But this idea of being a worm, or us having a worm in us, like our DNA or our inner being or anything like our soul, it means exactly that. We are on a low level and God is on a high level. Is there any hope for man that man can be justified with God? And that is to be put on God's same level. Is there any hope for mankind whatsoever? And the best thing that you can do in life is to quit lying to yourself about how good you are, about how everything's okay between you and God, because it's not. You're a worm. And that's who you'll die to be if you don't get saved by the grace of Almighty God. Can I hear you say amen? Job chapter 17. He said, my days are past, my purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. They change the night into day. The light is short because of darkness. If I wait, the grave is mine house. This is where you're going. I've made bed my bed in darkness. I've said to corruption, thou art my father. To the worm, thou art my mother and my sister. And where's now my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? They shall go down to the bars of the pit when our rest together is in the dust. This is the consequence of man and his sinful state. And when the Bible uses the word worm, it's talking about like different things, like worms covering your body, like maggots. The Bible's talking about that. But it's also referred to snakes or serpents. And did you know that in Isaiah chapter 14, I don't have this in my notes, but it's one of those places where it talks about a worm. Did you know that how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? The devil at one time was exalted and had exalted himself. now he's become a worm and he's cast down into the sides of the pit. The word worm there means exactly what it's always meant. Those slimy, slippery like snakes or caterpillars or earthworms or maggots or anything like that. That's the devil used to be in a high position and he's been cast down and now he's low. And the Bible here in Job chapter 17 is telling you that if you die in your sins, you're going to go to the pit and be in the same place the devil is. The same judgment that God is given to the devil, he's given to you because you're nothing better than that. You're a worm just like he is. You're a snake just like he is. You're to be despised, and you have corruption, and everything in your life is corrupt. And you might build yourself high before men, but you're down here. All you are is just a worm. The Bible says, "I've said to corruption, thou art my father; to the worm, thou art my mother and my sister." Where now is my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? They shall go down to the bars of the pit when our rest together is in the dust. What happens when they put you in the dust, Munchie? The worms come. The worms come and turn you back into dirt. That's who you are right now. Now watch this. I'm going to go back and look at this, and I'm going to show you where Jesus got this idea. Mark chapter 9, if you look in verse 44, it says, "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." If you look down here again, 46, "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Look down here in verse 48, "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Let me tell you something. Worms go to hell. And I want you to look at the exact wording of this passage. Let's say that this worm, it represents your inner being, exactly who you are right now living on this earth. That's you. Brady spent years going around telling everybody, when you die, that's it. There's no consciousness. Don't worry about it. Had I believed him, I would not be standing in a church. If I could convince you of it, none of us would be in a church on Sunday, I guarantee you. Because if you tell me that all that'll happen to me when I die is I just go down to the pit and turn into dust and have no conscience whatsoever, and it's going to be that way forever. If you tell me that, shoot. There's no limit to the evil that I'll do. But I know what this Bible says, and I believe it. I believe this Bible. He uses that phrase, "where their worm dieth not." He's talking about themselves. Past this flesh and everything like that, themselves, they're like their soul. And when you go to hell, your worm will never die. It'll never cease to exist. You will know exactly where you are, why you are there. And every sermon that you ever heard to preach the gospel to you, that you snub your nose at and said, "Well, I don't believe that," will come to your mind. And your worm will never die. It will be in the flames of hell. And then the book of Revelation says, hell is cast into the lake of fire. Guess who's there? Guess who's there waiting for you in the lake of fire? The dragon, the serpent, the old devil, the beast, the false prophet, and everybody else. Elvis, Michael Jackson, Bon Scott, AC/DC, they're all there waiting for you. Their worms did not die, and the fire is not quenched. Do you believe the word of the Lord this morning? He got that from Isaiah chapter 6. See, Jesus was quoting Scripture. Let me tell you what it's going to be like at the end of the world, and when God is done with everything and the earth has vanished and there's a new heaven and a new earth. Let me tell you what it's going to be like. Isaiah 66:22, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall..." Now watch this. These are those who are in the New Jerusalem, new heaven and the new earth. they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm will not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Those who are in the kingdom of the new heaven and new earth will be able to see those in the lake of fire burning in there. They're going to be seeing their worm in there that does not die. And it will be an eternal reminder to us of where we could have been without the grace and the love and the mercy of Almighty God. Let me hear you say amen. And I'll be dead honest with you. I don't want to, for eternity, be looking at you down in there. I don't want that. So God actually has a better plan. Do you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
So in Micah chapter 7, verse 17, they shall lick the dust like a serpent, and they shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. You see how God connects it? Serpents and worms. And they shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Did you know that you could say, God, I'm sorry, and God will forgive you? Did you know that God will work sorrow in your heart, and if it's true sorrow, and God knows the difference, that He'll forgive your sin? Who is a God like our God that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in what? Mercy! He will turn again, He will have compassion upon us, and He will subdue our iniquities, and Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Though we be like worms and serpents now, God will forgive our transgressions and pardon our iniquities, and then take them and cast them into the depths of the sea. Once they're there, they're there. They can't raise the Titanic, can they? It's staying there. And God's not going to bring your sins up anymore. In Hosea chapter 1 verse 10, look at what God said. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are sons of the living God. Now I brought this verse in here to connect two ideas for you. Though you be a worm full of garbage and corruption, God says, when I forgive your transgressions, then I make you a son of God. Do you know what that verse implies according to the Bible? Do you know what it means? Do you know that we all have already read something today in the Scriptures that tell you what the sons of God are? Job chapter 1 verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Who was that? Who was that? It was the angels. So God said in Hosea that it shall, whereas you used to be a worm and a serpent and corruption, now you are the sons of the living God. The sons of God, according to all throughout the Old Testament, that's what you see. They're angels. Job chapter 1 verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus explained it, because they asked Jesus, Lord, you know, in the law, if a man married a woman and didn't have a baby and he died, then his brother had to marry her, and if she had, he had like seven brothers, and they all came in unto her, and they all died without seed, whose husband or whose wife will she be in heaven? He said, you do err, not knowing the Scripture nor the power of God. He said, for in the resurrection, watch this now, the resurrection is when, listen to this, we're not worms anymore. In the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as who? The angels of God in heaven. Do you remember the description that we read of the angels in Ezekiel chapter 1? Do you remember that description of their wings? Do you remember that? We are going to be like that, though we are but worms. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are who? Sons of God. Angels. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know what that word Abba means? That's the Hebrew version of little kids in America saying Dada. That's good. I like that. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Did you know that when God looks down upon this earth and He sees worms, God has an expectation that worms will be turned into His sons. God had an only begotten Son, Jesus Christ the righteous. He came and died for you and I so that when we die, we live. And we are, if we go from this appearance to a new one. 1 Corinthians 15. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and to every seed his own body. Do you know what a worm is? It's a butterfly seed. When we look at worms, we're not looking at what they really are going to be. We're looking at the disgusting, the thing that breeds corruption, the thing that eats our garden up and we hate them and we poison them. Amen, Roy. Likewise, a lot of times when we look at each other, we look out here in the world, we see people stink like the world, reeking of alcohol and nasty lives and everything else, grotesque to us. Those are just, in fact, the uglier the worm is, the prettier the transformation. So what happens to a worm? It goes into a chrysalis and it dies. And you and I, what happens to us? I stood, Mom, God helped me so much. I couldn't preach Dad's funeral. But God helped me stand there at that grave, lay my hand on that casket. He that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You see, when we plant a seed down in the ground, the plant that comes up does not look like the seed. You ever notice that? Likewise, the worms that crawl into the chrysalis and die, that's not what comes out of that grave. It's that. It's the sons of God. Amen. And they have four wings. And God was teaching me this yesterday between the order microphone and getting my cheeseburger. Mike, they have four wings. The angels had four wings. Mike, I wrote letters on their wings because they have the sound of the speech of the Almighty God. One of these days, people, you and I, and butterflies are pretty. Amen? By the way, you know what they call butterflies? It's actually, the word butter is part of that too, because you beat butter, but it's because of the beating of their wings. And butterflies don't fly in a straight line. They fly pretty. Amen? You see, some birds will fly in a straight line. That's not pretty. Butterflies fly all around. I know I'm acting kind of silly, but let me have my fun. Because I never really paid much attention to butterflies until God began to deal with me and to show me, Mike, they grow wings. That's what he said to me. Mike, worms grow wings. And I went, and I started crying. Because though I be but a worm, not much to look at. You can put, somebody said I had a nice shirt and tie on. My wife takes good care of me. Okay? She picked it out for me. You put a nice shirt and tie on me, I'm still a worm. I'm still full of corruption. Amen? That's what I am. But one of these days, I'm going to be transformed into a son of God. And if you think that's pretty, how much more what our Heavenly Father is going to do to us? How much more? Okay? Unusual sermon. I don't preach stuff like this on Sunday morning, but this just really touched my heart. I am going to be in a better way. And I am going to be in a better place. And I'd like to see you with your wings next to me. I don't want to see you down in that lake. I don't want to see you down there. I want to see you with me with wings on. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to pray. If you want to come down, that's fine. If not, then... But I'm just going to give the message over to the Lord. It was His sermon, His message. He put it together for me. If you need help today, if you need... if you wouldn't mind putting on a set of wings one of these days, won't you ask God to do it for you? He'll do it. He's got a lot of pardons in Him. There is no other God that will pardon your iniquities. Just one. So you just ask Him to this morning. He'll do it, all right? Heavenly Father, I cannot, Lord, I just cannot express to You. I don't know that I've expressed really to these people what this message means to me. But Lord, when I was sitting there in the car and You said, Mike, they grow wings, I understood exactly, Lord, the place in the Bible, Lord, that You was talking about, what You meant. And Lord, though I be but a worm, and nothing to be desired of in this life, Lord, my earnest expectation is that one of these days I'll be a son of God. And I don't even know, Lord, what that's going to look like, but just a little bit, Lord, from what You reveal in Your Word. And the Father, Lord, I'm very thankful to You today for everything You've done for me. And Lord, even the things You keep telling me and teaching me and showing me, Lord, I don't deserve any of that. But You do those things, Lord, as I do things, Lord, or as my wife will do things for her daughters, her grandchildren. Lord, we would have given our own heart and lungs to our grandchild. To our sons. There's not anything, Lord, that we wouldn't give or do for all of our children. That's what You did for me. While I was yet a sinner, You gave up Your only Son for me, so that I could grow wings one of these days. Lord, it really blessed my heart. And I just, if nothing else, Father, if the message is nothing else other than just my chance to testify
of what you're doing in my life and what you will do. And that's where my earnest expectation is. That's where my hope is. So Lord, bless it. Let it be a blessing to other people. Let it be a blessing, Lord, to my wife and to my children and my grandchildren. Thank you for the grandchildren that already have wings. I love you, God. You're very good to me. So may your name be praised always, not only in my voice, but in my wife's and in all my family. May we always lift a voice and praise you, that you give us wings. Thank you for this book. I believe it. I believe every word in it, God. It's right. Lord, just bless these people, Lord, with it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. It's a good thing you had your eyes closed. I don't want you to see me cry, all right? God bless you. You're dismissed. Go home. Give your mom a hug while you still got her.